You and Me and BPD, Season 4, Episode 7, Childhood Trauma and Emotional Neglect. Today's episode, very quickly, is going to be a discussion on childhood neglect, emotional neglect, and memories of childhood. This is a trigger warning just because I know that talking about our childhood can sometimes bring up memories for other people, especially when we talk about emotional neglect and verbal neglect or verbal abuse. And I just really want you to know that this is a conversation that not everybody is ready for. It took me quite a while to unpack memories of my childhood, to understand my childhood, to be able to have these conversations without getting triggered myself. So I definitely do not want to trigger you at all. We will be talking about memories that I have from my childhood, some research that I looked up, and focusing specifically on what emotional neglect is. And if you're not ready for this conversation, please don't think that you have to push through or you have to listen. Like, you can take the time away, space away, and kind of unpack this. This episode is important to make because the next episode I'll be making is going to be about religious trauma, and we're going to talk about how that ties into childhood neglect, how it ties into some of the stories that we tell ourselves. And I wanted to precursor it with this episode because I think, as I mentioned, it is an important aspect to BPD, and especially to my understanding of my own BPD and what I've learned about early childhood education and development. So, trigger warning, as I said. And I hope if you are going to continue listening to this episode, that you are in a space where you can reflect on your own childhood, you know, because most importantly, I make these episodes to share with people my experiences, but also to help people navigate if they're just beginning to explore therapy and therapeutic intervention in their mental health. And one of the first things that a therapist will ask you about is your childhood and your development of childhood and what your relationship is like to your parents. At least that's from my experience and the experience I've had with multiple therapists. So it is an important aspect to talk about. I am going to be referencing two different, studies, two different places where I got my information. So one is an article from Front Psychiatry. It was published in 2021. It's called "The Role of Trauma in Early Onset BPD or Borderline Personality Disorder." And the other one is going to come from healthline.com, specifically when we're focusing on emotional neglect. I also personally wrote a article, kind of memoir piece, called "Breathing Through Intergenerational Trauma," where I reference a book that kind of helped me to understand my parents a little bit more and understand, you know, my role in unpacking my mental health. So that's from a Buddhist perspective, and this will be a Buddhist book, so I'll also be touching a little bit on that. But let's just dive right in. This topic, this episode, is focused specifically, as I mentioned, on emotional neglect and childhood trauma. And when we look at BPD rates, specifically of those who are diagnosed or those who have been in a psychiatric setting, it is estimated that 30 to 90% of cases associated with BPD have had experiences with abuse and neglect in childhood. So this is a fair, amount of us who have experienced adverse childhood experiences. And obviously, kind of the most talked about abuse in childhood is physical and sexual abuse. That is not what we're going to be talking about here, simply because I feel like it is way more researched, is way more talked about. It is obviously a very important topic, but when it comes to emotional neglect and verbal abuse, I feel like these are often the things that are not spoken about as much, and people have a bit of a harder time speaking about it. And also another thing to mention is that when you live with comorbidities, so maybe you're diagnosed with ADHD as a child, that can lead to emotional neglect. These comorbidities can lead to further abuse occurring in a childhood setting because parents just don't know what to do, right? They feel overwhelmed with themselves and with parenting, and especially if they live with intergenerational trauma, then it just trickles down and it eventually comes onto us as children, and really we have no say in anything, right? Like, as a child, you didn't ask for abuse to happen to you. You didn't ask to be born with some comorbid diagnosis. You didn't ask for anything to happen to you as childhood, in your childhood experience. It happened. And I think that that's an important distinction to make at the very beginning of this episode, is that it is not your fault. And if you live with guilt, and we'll talk a little bit about why that might be, or you feel weak or you feel unlovable, which is a comment that kept on coming up when I was looking on Reddit, it is not your fault. Your abuse and your neglect was not your fault. And ultimately you were a child, right? You had no say in what was happening to you. You had no say in how your parents were treating you. And unfortunately, it falls onto your shoulders to begin to unpack that, right? So when we look at this paper about the role of trauma in early onset BPD, a few tidbits that pointed out were interesting to me was a comment that said aggression or neglect from caregivers may contribute to aggression or neglect from caregivers contributes to a compromised view of realistic and balanced perspectives of the self and others. Children who suffer maltreatment may infer negative characteristics of themselves and others, i.e. seeing themselves as helpless, unlovable, or weak. And another interesting one was interpersonal dysfunctions later on in life are a result of early scarcity of emotional closeness or responsibility from caregivers. So when we are looking at this from a childhood perspective, we ultimately experienced the world through aggression directed towards us. And this might be from, you know, your parents not paying attention to you, or not even recognizing that you were struggling, not recognizing the warning signs that you might have been having mental health problems at an early age. And because of that, because of this aggression and this neglect, ultimately, from your caregivers, you are raised to think that, you know, you have these issues and they're inherently a part of you. And you might even have been told that. I know for myself that I was often told, it's impossible to talk to you. I can't understand why you do this. You always push my buttons. You always say things like this. And really, as a 7, 8, 9-year-old, when I think about it, how could I have possibly known that what I was doing was bothering my parents? Like, unless it was explained to me, and if it was explained in a way of understanding why I was having emotional reactions to things, why I was having breakdowns, why I was not communicating my emotions except for intense burst outs or like intense emotional breakdowns, then how could I have been blamed for that, right? And this is where we get into our interpersonal problems later on in life, because really, we were never given a childhood where we could just be children. We were never given that relationship to our parents where our parents sat down with us and said, "How are you feeling? Something's going on with you. I know that there's a need that you have that I am not meeting, and I want to learn how to meet that need." And this is where emotional neglect comes in. So when we think about neglect, we often think about, you know, children being left without food. We think about very physical kind of manifestations of neglect. Maybe a child is not getting washed enough. Or maybe their parent is leaving them at home for extended amounts of time. And while there can be intentional emotional neglect, which is a disregard for a child's feeling, it can also be, this is coming from healthline.com, it can also be a failure to act or to notice a child's emotional needs. While a parent might still provide care and necessities and be there, you know, like my mom, for instance, where a lot of my emotional neglect and emotional abuse came from. My mom was there. My mom was a single mom. My mom was trying to give me the best life that she knew. But really, when I retreated inwards, when I started having my delusions, when I started experiencing hearing voices and believing that I was seeing things that weren't there, my mom didn't take any notice of that. And so, yeah, she gave me food and she paid my bills and she, you know, tried to make sure I had a relationship with my dad. In terms of my emotional needs, in terms of listening to me and having conversations with me and spending time with me, that wasn't there. And so what ended up happening is when I started talking about, you know, this is how I'm feeling really nervous, I'm feeling really anxious, I'm experiencing a lot of what now I know to be mental health concerns, I was shut down and I was told, well, everybody experiences that, or why are you lying? And that was so interesting because I as a person don't lie. I don't like lying. I don't like liars. I don't like when people lie to me. And I don't generally lie. So being told that I'm a liar for talking about something that I'm experiencing or trying to, you know, talk about it made me learn to be silent. And it also gave me less emotional regulation skills. Because what I did is I internalized my feelings. I turned them within me, and when I was depressed, I'd get quiet. Or when I was experiencing, you know, I had experiences in childhood that I have not really mentioned on this podcast because I don't think it's 100% necessary to speak about at this moment in time. But when I was experiencing things, I drew inwards and I felt like for a lot of my childhood, I felt like I had no one that I could trust. I felt like the trust wasn't there. I felt like I had no one that I could turn to. And I felt like if I ever tried to come to my mom and tried to have a conversation with her, it was turned around into, you are making me feel like a bad person. You are doing this. You are doing that. So all I was hearing when I was a child is, you are wrong. You are the one who is making the problems. You are the one who needs to fix it. You are the one who needs to learn how to be better. And so I tried. I tried to be better. And one of the interesting things that I think is not often talked about in terms of childhood trauma is the lapses of memories that we have. I, for a lot of my life, couldn't remember certain times. I just had no memories, and my mom would tell me stories of us going to do things, and I just couldn't remember it. I couldn't remember what happened. I couldn't remember, you know, these things that we experienced together. And I still experience times where I can't remember what my childhood was like. I'm really looking at it. It was because I didn't get to have these deeper relationships with my parents. My father was a lot of the time non-existent. My father went on to have two other children with another woman, and because of that, there was problems between him and my mom. And a lot of the time, I was put in the middle of it. And it was like I would have to be the one to go in between my mom and my dad. And my dad would say, your mom's crazy and you're crazy too. And my mom would say, well, I don't want you seeing him anymore. And I unfortunately would have to deal with those emotions by myself. I also spent a lot of time by myself. And that's also a form of neglect. It's a form of emotional kind of lack of availability from my parents. I don't remember having a lot of conversations with my mom as a child. And here's the thing, my mom has been on this podcast, right? We've managed to, over the past 15 years or so, since, or maybe 10 years or so, 10 to 12 years, we've managed to come to an understanding of, there are many aspects of my childhood I don't remember. There are many aspects of my childhood that were that were not conducive to me, that were not supportive of me as a person. And because of that, I experienced a lot of looking towards other people to show me what love was, to looking towards other people to fill me up, to make me feel like I was loved. And I've spoken before on this podcast about the search for love. And I think that when we talk about, you know, early childhood development, which is something I studied in my schooling, when we talk about the lack of relationships between parents and children and the lack of communication and learning how to embrace your child, learning how to manage your own emotions when it comes to your child, so that you are not putting your own trauma onto that child. A lot of parents are lacking that self-awareness. They're lacking the ability to be, you know, cognitive of what they're doing to their children. And ultimately, that leads to this kind of fragmentation that is very common with BPD. When we think about it, we might even tell ourselves that we can never be loved, that we are broken, that we will always be broken. And this kind of negative self-talk is given to us from some of our early relationships to the people in our life. And really, that's our family. If you were always treated as othered, if you were always pushed to the side, if you were never given the tools to manage your anger, or you were never taught how to do that because everybody in your life was angry, then of course you're going to struggle with your anger. It's kind of a natural thing that develops out of our childhood. And unfortunately, it means that a lot of us later on in life, when we're diagnosed with BPD, we have to sit there and unpack everything that happened to us. And sometimes that unpacking, that kind of look at your parents, can cause a lot of anger, a lot of aggression, a lot of blame to come out of that. And I'm not gonna lie, I experienced a lot of that. I sat there and was angry at my parents, and I was angry at the fact that they had not treated me with the kindness that I deserved because I was only a child. And really, I had no say in any of it. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask for them to come together to make me. It's just life. And it took me quite a while working with a therapist, spending time a lot in meditation, sitting with myself and unpacking, where are these stories coming from? Where are these narratives that I'm telling myself of I'm unlovable, I will never be fixed, I am broken? And these were thoughts I carried for a lot of my life. And I had to sit there and try to recognize that ultimately I didn't have a lot of say in my childhood. And that really changed the way that I parent. And I've heard from people that they're afraid to be parents. They're afraid to continue the cycle of abuse. But the fact that you're even, if you want to be a parent, this is just kind of a tangent, the fact that you're even aware that there are cycles of abuse, the fact that you're aware of the fear that comes with parenting, of wanting to be a better parent, right? And critiquing your own parents, and also thinking about, how do I want my children to be raised, and how do I want myself to show my child that I care about them? How can I best do that? If you are thinking about having children and you're just beginning to unpack your childhood neglect or abuse, that is one of the best things you could do, right? Is to learn why you are the way you are, why your parents treated you the way they treated you, and ultimately, how do we live knowing that it wasn't our fault? We didn't ask for this, but it happened. And this is where I'm going to share just one thing that has helped me. This is from a book called Pieces Every Step. It's by Thich Nhat Hanh. He is my Buddhist teacher. I read a lot of his books. I am a part of his lineage of Buddhism. And this is something I also share in the article I wrote myself. It says, when we look at our parents with compassion, often we see that our parents are only victims who never had the chance to practice mindfulness. They could not transform the suffering in themselves. But if we see them with compassionate eyes, we can offer them joy, peace, and forgiveness. The giver is our parents. We are the continuation of our parents and our ancestors. As we continue to meditate on this, we see clearly that the giver, the gift, our body itself, and the receiver are all one. Seeing this, we will know what to do and what not to do for ourselves, our ancestors, our children, and their children. One of the important things that I've learned is that your parents also have a story. And this is not to justify. I don't want you to think that you need to forgive your parents, that if you have a bad relationship with your parents, you need to fix it, because I don't think that that really does very much for us, especially when it is physical abuse or sexual abuse or even emotional neglect. I don't think that letting people who abused us and who have no remorse for it back into our lives is beneficial. I'm not even saying you have to forgive them. I know many people who do not forgive their parents for the abuse that their parents put them through, and I'm not going to advocate that that's what you should do. But I think it is important to recognize that, especially if your parents lived with intergenerational trauma, that they were also children when a lot of their abuse happened. And because they were abused, because they have this trauma, they, whether it was intentional or not, passed it down to us. When I have conversations with my mom now, I can hear the hurt in my mother's voice when she talks about the way her parents treated her. And it makes me think of the way that she still has not fully healed and kind of accepted that this is a part of her story. And I have come to the point that I no longer really have a relationship with my dad. I'm not angry at him. I'm not mad at him. I don't hate him. But there is just no familial connection there. And for a long time, I thought that I had to forgive my parents. I thought that the best way to deal with this, to deal with my own reckoning and understanding of my trauma, was forgiveness. And there are many schools of thought that will tell you forgiveness is key. But I don't necessarily think that that is the most helpful thing for us. And I don't think that it's the most, you know, conducive thing to healing. I think acceptance and acknowledgement of our parents and the trauma they put us through is way more healing. And if anything comes out of this conversation, I hope you know that it is not your fault. That childhood neglect is unfortunately a very pervasive thing in this community, in this society that we live in. And this is where I'm going to bring in a little bit more of my ECE training and also my job as an EA, is I see now, even now, today, I see some of the children I work with, and I recognize that their parents are not supporting them. They have problems speaking. They have, you know, problems with their emotional reactions. They are often coming in and, you know, they've already been told that they're a bad child at the beginning of the day. And when I hear that, it breaks my heart, because I can remember also experiencing that. I can remember also being blamed for things and really sitting there and thinking that I was a bad person. And I had a child the other school year who came to me and said, "Mommy said I was bad." And that broke my heart into 1,000 pieces, because I remembered being that. I remembered sitting there and, but the thing was that I never spoke about it. I never had someone to talk to. And now that I'm older, right, I can now look back and I can hold that little stuff. I can manage to connect with that small part of me and say, "You are so loved. And you are not wrong. You are not bad. You are not broken. You are loved, and I love you. And I want to give you as much love as I can." And that doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't make the trauma any less valid. It doesn't mean that I forgive everything that my parents have put me through. But it means that I can at least sit here and not feel overwhelmed at this topic. Not feel like I am struggling to talk about it. And understand that it is a part of me. It is a part of my story. And ultimately, if I can help people by talking about it, if I can help people by letting them know that they're not alone, then maybe that's a positive thing that can come out of this. And so I hope that you begin to tell your story. I hope that you find a therapist or a friend, or if you can have the conversation with your parents in a conducive way where they're willing to listen to you, then I hope you can also do that. But also sit with yourself, find that little part of yourself that holds on to these memories and these stories that have been told to you, and understand that that little person didn't deserve it. And you didn't deserve it. And you are not wrong. And it does not need to be the end of your story, is all of these narratives that have been said to you. And if your parents are still saying it, right? If this is your situation and you're having your parents still say things to you, then I hope even in that case, you can eventually get some time away from them, get some time to unpack, maybe journal, maybe express yourself through creative means, and really begin to heal. Because ultimately, trauma continues to exist in our bodies. It continues to exist in our minds. It will come up every once in a while, and it will come over you. And the best way that I've learned to see through it is just to be in it, to experience it, to let my body rest or break down or cry or have a panic attack if that's what my body needs, and then to move through it. Because trauma does not need to hold you captive. And if it has been holding you captive, then I hope you know you're not the only one. A lot of us have experienced trauma, and it takes a long time to unpack it, to talk about it, to reach a point where you can, you know, be cognitive of how it affects you. And ultimately, that's what we want to do, right? We want to be aware of it. We want to know what happened to us as much as we can. If you're like me and you experience things that feel like they happened, but you're not 100% sure, but you're pretty sure, like, it happened. And if you can find someone to talk about it that you trust, and you can begin to unpack the stories you tell yourself, then you can begin to heal. This is kind of, as I mentioned, it is a very heavy topic. So if you want to reach out to me, as always, my Instagram messages, my DMs are open at journey, journey, bound, bound. I will be there, and I am always happy to talk to you. And I hope that you know that you are hopefully safe and loved, and that the parts of you that might feel broken don't always have to feel like that. And you can heal. It takes time and it takes effort and energy, but your childhood is a part of your story. And it might be scary to have to come to terms with that, but I believe in you, and I support you, and I love you, and I am hoping for the very, very best for you. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.